This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. To our dear brothers and sisters out there, أهلا وسهلا. يا عبد الله يا أمة الله. This is our fifth majlis in أصول الفقه, a مقدمة, an introduction to the matters of أصول الفقه. We are studying two texts. They are Tahil al-Fiqhi, the Usul text, and also Al-Waraqat by Imam al-Haramain al-Juwayni, the Shafi'i scholar, rahimahullah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, in this majlis, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we are going to cover two easy matters, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. The first of them being the dalalat of the alfaz, in terms of the quwwah, in terms of the strength. So the alfaz of the sharia, the texts of the sharia, of the Quran, of the sunnah, they could be an equivalent, clear cut, express, not open to any other type of interpretation, only one meaning and nothing else. So this is a nas in the mas'ala. We term this to be a nas in the mas'ala. And this is where the ulama state there is no ijtihad of the scholar where there is a nas in the mas'ala. Nas means not open to any other interpretation, only one meaning we can get from it, walhamdulillah. So we will discuss the nas, insha'Allah. Then a level just below that is what we term zahir, that the dominant meaning of such and such term or such and such a verse is X, Y, and Z. There's a dominant meaning, Jayid. But there are other meanings, but there's a dominant meaning, Jameel. Then we'll talk about mujmal. Mujmal is where it's like a 50-50 mas'ala, that the word qur, for example, can either mean purification or it can mean menses. And the word, it can mean both of them. We require some external proof to give preference to one meaning over the other. So we will discuss that mas'ala bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, the dalalat of the alfaz in terms of their strength, Jameel. Then we'll move on to the matter of the dalalat in terms of it being mantuq or mafhum. Sit down, brother. This is what I said. It was an order. It was mantuq. It's what I said. It's what you heard. It's what you read. It is clear cut. It is stated. MashaAllah. So sit down. Sit down, brother. This is the mantuq. This is what we said. This was what was heard. MashaAllah. Then there's the mafhum. Mafhum is what was understood. What do you read between the lines, etc.? It might not have been explicitly stated, but it's there between the lines. We've understood it. So if we said to the brother, sit down, brother! Exclamation mark, mashallah. The mafhum, the understood meaning would be what? That you're not allowed to stand. You're not allowed to stand. You're not allowed to lie down. You're not allowed to ride your bicycle. I want you to sit down. So if you're sitting down, you are not riding the bicycle. You are not running. You are not jogging. You are not standing up, etc. So we will discuss, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, the matter of the mantuq, that which is stated express, and that which is the mafhum, via which we've understood, via our aql, what we've understood, masha'Allah, between the lines. Hayyakum Allah. But before that, ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, we want to do a little bit of revision, insha'Allah. Let's see. True or false? True or false, Jayid? So somebody states that wajib and farad, according to majority of the ulama, it means the same thing. You can say that Salatul Fajr, it's a farad. Salatul Fajr is wajib. According to most ulama, both mean the same thing. Is that true or false? It is true. It's true. The Hanafi scholars make a distinction between the fard and the wajib. Excellent. According to a majority of the scholars, mandub, sunnah, mustahab, nafila, tatawwu', fadila, they all mean the same thing. They all mean something which is recommended. True or false? It is true. Excellent. Walhamdulillah. There's a difference between sunnah mu'akkada and sunnah ghair mu'akkada. Sunnah mu'akkada, a stressed sunnah, like the two sunnah of Salatul Fajr. And sunnah ghair mu'akkada, it's like the four sunnah before Salatul Asr. This is the opinion of majority of the ulama. The answer is yes, it is true. They make a distinction between sunnah sunnah mu'akkada and sunnah ghair mu'akkada. Jameel. The next question. The Quran has reached us via ahad transmission. The Quran has reached us via ahad solitary transmission. True or false? False. The Quran has reached us via mass transmission, via mutawatir transmission. Jameel. Most of the ahadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are ahad or they are mutawatir. Which one? They are ahad, solitary narrations, or are they mass transmission, mutawatir? Most ahadith fall in the category of ahad. Ahad, excellent. Jameel. The definition of the sunnah, according to which group of scholars, is the most wide-ranging definition? According to the legal theorist, the usuli scholars, or according to the fuqaha, the jurists, or according to the muhaddithin, the scholars of ahadith? Which group of scholars, they have the most wide-ranging definition of the sunnah? The muhaddithin. The muhaddithin. Why? Because they even include the akhlaq of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his likes, his dislikes, how he looked, how he dressed, etc., etc. Jameel. With regards to the deniers of the sunnah, they are divided into two categories. One category, they state that there's absolutely no need for the sunnah at all. We don't need it at all. That's one category. Second category, those who say, no, the sunnah, it is a proof and it is a hujjah and we do need it and it's beneficial, but unfortunately, it has not been preserved. Is this true or is this false? The deniers of the sunnah can be divided into these two categories. Full, complete deniers, we don't need it at all. And the second category, those who have the issue with the preservation. The answer is true. Yes, those are the two categories that we can divide them. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Jameel. Somebody mentions that before the modern age, we've never had a firqa. We've never had any group or sect in history that completely denied the entire sunnah. There's never been a group that said, we don't need the sunnah wholesale. We don't need it at all. There's never been a group like that. Yes, that's true. It's only in the modern age that we have a group which states this. Historically, we've never had a group which completely made inkar and denied the sunnah. Allahu musta'an. The next question, ijma, consensus. Consensus is the agreement of majority of the scholars. True or false? False. It's the agreement of all of the mujtahideen, all of the scholars. Walhamdulillah, masha'Allah. The next question, who was the first to author a work, a book with regards to usul al-fiqh, and especially a work that has reached us, that we have available today? Which scholar? Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ash-Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal? Which one of them? Rahimahumullah. Which one? Imam Ash-Shafi'i. What book? Ar-Risala. MashaAllah. Jameel. Which falls under fiqh or usul al-fiqh or qawa'id al-fiqhiyya? Qawa'id al-fiqhiyya. So the following, tell us which category do they fall under. So Salatul Dhuhr, you have to stand and perform Salatul Dhuhr, because standing in the Salah, this is a pillar of the prayer. Does this fall under usul fiqh or fiqh or qawa'id fiqhiyya? This falls under fiqh. Standing and performing your salah, and it is a rukn of the prayer, this falls under the category of fiqh. Excellent, masha'Allah. Number two, certainty is not removed by doubt. This maxim, this legal maxim, this rule, this principle, certainty is not removed by doubt. Which category? Usul? No. Fiqh? No. It is qawa'id fiqhiyya. Qawa'id fiqhiyya, the legal maxims, masha'Allah. A prohibition equals that which is haram. A prohibition equals that which is haram. What is this? This is usul al-fiqh. Usul al-fiqh. Jameel. The sharia of the previous anbiya, the sharia of the previous anbiyas, it's also our sharia, for as long as it doesn't contradict anything in our sharia. If there is a contradiction, then our sharia is given preference. This is usul fiqh. Fiqh or qawa'id fiqhiyya. This is usul al-fiqh. Excellent, masha'Allah. Eating and drinking while you are fasting breaks your fast. This is fiqh. Fiqh. Excellent, masha'Allah. The sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a proof, it is evidence in the sharia. This is usul al-fiqh. Walhamdulillah. The matters of bid'ah and the definition of bid'ah, what's a bid'ah and what's not a bid'ah, falls under usul fiqh or fiqh or qawa'id fiqhiyya falls under usul al-fiqh. MashaAllah, jameel. The rule that al-amr yaqtadi al-wujub, an order equals imperative, an order equals that which is an obligation. This is usul al-fiqh. MashaAllah, tabarakallah, jameel. What type of sunnah are the following? So, innama al-a'malu bin niyat. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this. What type of sunnah is this? Statement. This is qawl, statement of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jameel. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would make his wudu, then he would make takhleel of his lihya, of his beard. What type of sunnah? Action of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third one, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acknowledged that Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha, she gifted her night to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. What type of sunnah? Tacit approval of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have statement, we have action, and tacit approval of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the definition of the sunnah according to the usuli scholars. Alhamdulillah. What type of abrogation is the following? Nahaytukum an ziyarati al-qubur fazuruha fa innaha tudhakkirukum al-akhirah. I used to prohibit you people from visiting the graveyards, but now visit it because it reminds you of the hereafter. Is this an example of abrogation? Yes. Previously was not allowed, and now Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that it is allowed. Excellent. What type of abrogation? The sunnah abrogating the sunnah. The sunnah abrogating the sunnah. Excellent. And with regards to usul al-fiqh, we have certain schools in usul al-fiqh. One school is the school of the mutakallimin, majority of the scholars. Then we have the school of the fuqaha, of the jurists, and that's the Hanafi scholars. And then we have the third school where they tried to make a synthesis between the two. Alhamdulillah. So ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, that was a quick bit of revision. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Let us get cracking with our majlis for today. Remember, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we said that usul al-fiqh, it's based upon four axes. The first one, al-hukum, the madlul, that this is fard, this is wajib, this is makruh, etc. Then the matters of the evidences, the adilla, the Quran, the sunnah, etc., etc. Then number three is the dalala, the implication of those evidences. What does this verse really mean? What does this verse indicate? What's the implication, the function, the connotation of this text, of this hadith, of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And so in this majlis, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we touch upon some of those matters related to the dalala, that which is stated explicitly, that which is not stated explicitly, that we've understood from the statement, etc., etc. And then lastly, the fourth axis of usul al-fiqh, which we will cover later on in the series, and that is the mustadil, the matter of ijtihad, the scholar who is doing the ijtihad. Alhamdulillah. So the author states, taqseem dalalat al-lafz بِاعْتِبَارْ قُوَّةِ الدَّلَالَةِ, that the function, the connotation, the indication, the implication of the words, but what? In terms of their strength and in terms of the clarity of them indicating something, in terms of them being clear cut in their indication. So we want to divide this matter and classify this matter. He states, عَلَى مَعْنَى وَاحِدْ لَا يَحْتَمِلْ غَيْرُهُ, that there's only one meaning. There's only one meaning and there's no opportunity for any other meaning. There's only one meaning that we can extract from this term, that we can extract from this verse, that we can extract from this lafz of the Sharia, word of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or verse of the noble Quran. And if this is the case, we call this a nas. It is a nas. It is explicit. It's clear cut. It's unequivocal. Jayid. This word nas, it comes from buruz. Buruz, that which stands out. That which is wadih, that which is clear cut, the manassa. So the word nas, from we have another word, manassa. Manassa, like when the bride, she sits on this chair, or she's on this raised platform, that everyone can see her. She stands out from the crowd. So this is the nas. Stands out from the crowd, no other interpretation, no other meaning. There's no ijtihad. The scholar, he can't come along and make ijtihad when we have a nas in the mas'ala. Jayid. So in this mas'ala here, when the scholar says there is a nas in the mas'ala, it doesn't mean that we have some proof in the sharia. No, but we have a type of proof which is clear cut, explicit, unequivocal, not open to any other interpretation whatsoever. Only one meaning we can gain from it. Example. فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامُ فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامُ in Surah Ma'idah verse number 89, that you need to fast 3 days. Can someone come along and say, well, 3 days means 48 hours. 3 days means 4 days. 3 days means 2 days or 1 day, etc. You can't open it to any other interpretation. It is a nas and it is unequivocal. Alhamdulillah. So in terms of its strength, that is the highest in terms of strength. Alhamdulillah. Then the author states, عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ مَعْنَىٰ أَحَدُهَا أَرْجَحْ, that there's more than one meaning to this wording. There's more than one meaning that we can extract. But one of the meanings, it is dominant. So this is what we would then subdivide. But what we need to understand here is that we have many meanings, one or more meanings, and one of them might be dominant. If there is a dominant meaning, then this is what we term as zahir, zahir, jayid. By itself, it is evident, it is dominant. This is what we call zahir. The brother, he says that I was at the park and I saw a lion. I went to the zoo and I saw a lion. Now this lion can be open to interpretation. Maybe he saw a brave man, etc., etc. But what type of meaning would we extract from this sentence? I went to the zoo and I saw a lion. The normal lion that we are all familiar with, that's the dominant meaning. Excellent, mashallah. So that's what we call the zahir. That lion can be interpreted in many ways, but in this sentence here, based on its context, the meaning here, the zahir, the apparent, the dominant meaning is that he saw a lion walking on all fours. Jameel, mashallah. Shayid. If, for example, we have a scenario where we leave the zahir and we go with the non-dominant meaning. The non-dominant meaning. This is what we call mu'awwal. Mu'awwal. So the guy says that I entered the masjid and subhanallah, I saw a lion on the mimbar delivering the khutbah. Jayid. What does he mean here? Huh? Does he mean a lion on four legs, etc., Jayid? The animal of the wild? No. Simba? No. Rather, what he means is a very brave khatib, mashallah, delivering a heavy, powerful khutbah. Or he says, for example, that on the battlefield, suddenly from our ranks, one of the soldiers, he came out and he was a lion, mashallah, taking on the enemy. Does he mean that this guy transformed into a lion? No. But what he means is that this guy was very, very brave, like a lion, mashallah. So sometimes we go with this mu'awwal type of meaning based upon evidences. If we have the context and we have evidences indicating that this is the meaning we need to go with, then that's what we go with. Walhamdulillah. A clear example of this, the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that utiru ya ahl al-Quran. Utiru ya ahl al-Quran. O people of the Quran, perform your witr. Utiru, that's an order. Utiru, make witr. Ya ahl al-Quran, O people of the Quran. Now listen carefully. Utiru, this is apparent dominant meaning, that this is an order. And apparently dominant meaning, etc. We should have said that witr salah, it is an obligation, it is wajib. Because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Utiru ya ahl al-Quran. So if we just took this evidence here, without looking at any other evidences, we would have said, well, the zahir meaning of this hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordering us to perform witr salah, and thus witr salah is an obligation. We would have done that. But we need to obviously look at the other evidences, Jayid. And so after looking at other evidences, we find that only the 5 daily salawat, they are an obligation. There's no other obligation besides these 5 daily salawat. And so what it then means is that يَأُوْتِرُوا يَا أَهْلَ الْقُرْآنِ, the people of the Quran perform witr salah, but not as an obligation, but rather this is recommended. This is recommended. So now, we didn't go with the zahir meaning, we went with the mu'awwal dual meaning. We went with the non-dominant meaning, but why did we go with this non-dominant meaning? The apparent is that it's an obligation. Why did we make an interpretation and go with the non-dominant meaning? Because of external evidences. Jameel, mashallah, Jayid. So in summary there, awtiru ya ahl al-Qur'an, the zahir would have been that it is wajib, it's compulsory. But we didn't take that meaning. Why? The default is we should have done that. But why didn't we take that dominant meaning? Because we have external evidences indicating to us and showing us clearly that witr salah cannot be an obligation. Only the five daily prayers, they are the obligations. Walhamdulillah. And so here going with the non-dominant, this is what we call the mu'awwal. Mu'awwal, mashallah. Jameel. And the third one here, ala akthar min ma'na la murajjih li ahadiha. That a wording, that this word or this verse, etc., it has many meanings. And we do not have any way of stating that this is the more dominant meaning over the other. That they are all on the equal footing. 50-50, for example. That's where they are sitting. We can't say that this one is a dominant over the other. Example, the word ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوء. The sentence ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوء in the Noble Quran, Surah Baqarah, verse number 228. That this woman who's been divorced, etc., she's in the iddah until ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوء. Until three قُرُوء. Now, what does quru mean? Quru, or the singular qur, according to many of the ulama, it means what? It means purification. It means tuhr, tuhr. And also, this, according to the Arabic language, the word qur, it can mean menses. It can mean menses. So now, which meaning do we give preference to? It can mean menses, and it can also mean purification, subhanAllah. So right now they are on an equal footing. We need external evidences to give preference to one over the other. And this is what we call mujmal. Mujmal, Jay. This is like ambiguous. We need bayan. That's the important thing. We require bayan of this. We require other evidences to come along and make tafsir of it. We require other evidences to come along and make bayan of this type of wording here, Jay. Otherwise, we would be stuck. Allahu musta'an. Jayyid. So we require external proof to give preference to one meaning over the other. Walhamdulillah. So this covers this first aspect, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, the division or classification of the terms in terms of the strength and the clarity of its indicating something. It can either be a nas, clear cut, no other meaning, only one meaning to it. Or number two, it can have a few meanings, but there's a dominant meaning. The dominant meaning is what we call zahir, jayyid. The non-dominant meaning, maybe sometimes we go with that if we have external evidence to indicate that is the right course of action. And then mujmal, that they are on the 50-50 footing. We require bayan, external evidence to give preference to one over the other. Alhamdulillah. That's the first aspect of today's majlis covered, mashallah, tabarakallah. The author then moves on, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, and he states, تقسيم دلالة اللفظ باعتبار محل الدلالة. So now we are discussing in terms of mantuk, what I said explicitly. And we are also discussing the mafhum, what was understood, what is between the lines, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Jayyid. So, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, the first matter we need to understand here, insha'Allah, the simple matter, what's the difference between mantuq and mafhum, insha'Allah? Once we've understood that, and it's simple to understand, then we move into, well, further discussions related to mantuq, further discussions related to mafhum, insha'Allah. Yalla, let's see. So the mantuq is what was stated, mantuq is what was heard, mantuq is what was read, that which is clear cut, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, jayid. Examples in the Noble Quran, wa-aqimus-salah, this is clear cut, it has been stated, express, and it states, wa-aqimus-salah, establish the prayer, jayid. Another example, wala ta'kulu mimma lam yudhkar ismullahi alayh, and do not eat that which, when at the time of slaughter, the name of Allah was not taken. The name of Allah was not taken. And so this mantuq is stating to us, we can't eat that which was slaughtered. And at the time of slaughter, the name of Allah was not taken. Excellent. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Do not take the life of anyone unjustly. If there's no haq, there's no valid excuse, valid reason, you're not allowed to take the life of anyone. So these are examples of them being mantuq. Mantuq. Mantuq meaning the order is there in what we read, what we heard. It's clear cut. Walhamdulillah. You said to the brother, please stand up. Please stand up. And he stood up, mashallah. Please sit down. And he sat down, mashallah. This is mantuq. This is clear, mashallah. Walhamdulillah. Jameel. Now let's discuss the mafhum. And there's a lot of detail with regards to mafhum and the types of mafhum, inshallah. So what is mafhum? Mafhum, that which was understood. That which was understood. That we try to maybe read between the lines. We read between the lines, inshallah. And with regards to the mafhum, remember that the mafhum, it is weaker in terms of the strength of proof. It's weaker than the mantuq. Mantuq is what I said to you. And mafhum is what you've understood between the lines. Jayid, excellent. As we will see, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Example, Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, in Surah Isra, verse number 23, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Do not say to your father, your mother, don't say to your parents, أُفْ. Do not say to your parents, أُفْ. So that's what Allah mentioned in the Noble Quran. So now, the order here is that don't say uff to them, you need to respect them, etc., etc. Now, the mafhum would be that you're not allowed to hit them. You're not allowed to hit them, Jayid. You're not allowed to swear them. You're not allowed to do stuff which is even worse than saying uff. These are all the understood meanings. The understood meanings. Jayid, excellent. We find in the Noble Quran that if you're unable to get married, etc., you can't afford the mahar, then min fatayatikumul mu'minat. Then you are allowed to get married to a slave woman, min fatayatikumul mu'minat, from the believing slave woman. So the Muslim slave woman, you can get married to her and you can make nikah with a Muslim slave woman. The fact that Allah mentioned here, min fatayatikumul mu'minat, from the woman who are the believers. So it then means that you're not allowed to get married to a non-Muslim slave. You're not allowed to get married to a non-Muslim slave. You can get married to a Christian woman. You can get married to a Jewish woman who is free. But when it comes to you getting married to a slave, you can't get married to a Jewish slave woman. You can't get married to a Christian slave woman, Jade. This is the opinion of majority of the scholars. Why? Because Allah said mu'minat. So this excludes the non-mu'minat. So we're reading between the lines. We're looking at the mafhum. For the mafhum, we need to use our aql. We need to use our aql. Jayyid, excellent, mashallah. So we've sorted out that first matter, and that is the difference between mantuq and mafhum. Walhamdulillah. Jameel. Now, with regards to the mantuq, that which is stated, the author mentions here that this can be subdivided into sarih and ghair sarih. That which is explicit, sarih, and that which is ghair sarih, that which is not explicit. Now, we'll cover the examples bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. With regards to sarih, then this is what is also termed by some of the usuli scholars, ad-ibaratun nas, ibaratun nas. And all those examples we've already given, they fall within this category. Wa aqimu salah, establish the prayer. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. Don't eat that which Allah's name was not taken over it at the time of slaughter. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Do not take the life of anyone whose blood is sanctified. You're not allowed to do so except with a haq, if you had a valid excuse and valid reason. These are verses, they are explicit, they are nas, and they are sarih. Walhamdulillah. Jameel. Now, we have a category of the mantuq, which is غير صريح, which is not explicit. We need to maybe scratch a little bit beyond the surface. Let us discuss. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. So we've covered, mashallah, the mantuq, which was sarih, which was explicit. Now we move on to the mantuq, which is غير صريح, inshallah. Now this can be subdivided into three categories. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, stick with us. Stick with us. Don't worry about the fancy terms. As long as you understand the concept, that suffices. Walhamdulillah. So غير صريح, the first category is what we term as dalalatul iqtida. Dalalatul iqtida, that there's something which is mahdhuf. There's something which is missing. There's something which we need to estimate in the sentence. It's not there. It's not there. We need to estimate its presence, Jayid. And otherwise, the sentence will not make sense. Otherwise, the sentence will not make sense. Will not make sense shara'an, legally, or will not even make sense logically. Example, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. That literally it states that your mothers are haram upon you. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. That your mothers are haram upon you. Surah An-Nisa, verse number 27. Now, what is meant? Your mothers are haram upon you. I can't speak to my mother. I can't talk to my mother. I can't sit with my mother. From the time of birth, I must separate myself from my mother because she's haram upon me. No, what is meant here, that which is mahdhuf, that which is not mentioned but it's understood, is what? That intimacy. Intimacy with your mother, and these type of matters, they are haram. Allah mentioned this matter when talking about those women who are haram upon you in terms of marriage. You can't go and make nikah with your mother. You can't go and make nikah with your grandmother, etc. So what's meant by this verse? The verse states, your mothers are haram upon you. What we understand, what is the mahdhuf, what's the missing link there, etc. Just below the surface. Intimacy with your mothers is that which is impermissible. Excellent. Hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Rufi'a an ummati al-khata wa nisyan." That mistakes have been lifted from my ummah. Mistakes have been lifted from my ummah. Subhanallah, don't we all make mistakes? So how come it's lifted from the ummah? If we want to go with the apparent meaning of this hadith here, that the Muslims can never, ever, ever make mistakes because mistakes have been lifted from this ummah. We said, well, the mahdhuf part in this hadith here is what? The part which is missing there, the estimated part, that which it's clear that we need to understand it in that manner, is what? Sin. The sin of mistakes has been lifted from this ummah. By mistake, you were fasting and you drank some water, you're fasting as well. By mistake, you went into the shop and while you were looking at something, you dropped the vase down and it broke, etc. You're not sinful for any of this. So these mistakes, you're not sinful for them. Walhamdulillah. So the ithm, the sin has been lifted. The sin has been lifted. Excellent. In the Noble Quran, was'alil qarya, was'alil qarya. Ask the village. Do we go and speak to the buildings? No. Ask the people of the village. Ask the people of the village. Jayid. Ask the people of the village. Jameel. Man kana minkum maridun aw ala safarin fa'iddatun min ayamin ukhar. Surah Baqarah 184. That whoever is sick or you are on travel, then you must fast another day. You must fast another day. But what if I was traveling and I was sick, but I fasted? Do I still need to fast another day? No, I don't. So the correct understanding of this verse would be what? That if you are traveling or you are sick and you broke your fast, and you broke your fast, and you broke your fast, then you will need to make a qada. But if you didn't break your fast, then you don't need to make any qada. We have to understand it in light of that. Excellent, mashallah. So this is what we term here as that it is mantuq. It was what was stated, jayid, but there's something missing and we need that there to understand it properly bi idhnillahi ta'ala. Jayid, dalalatul iqtida. Dalalatul iqtida, jameel. Somebody says to another, i'tiq 'abdaka 'anni wa 'alayya thamanu. That set free your slave and I will pay the price. Set free your slave and I will cover the price. What is meant by this? Sell me your slave and then after that set him free on my behalf. Set him free on my behalf and I will cover the cost of that matter. Jayid, it's not mentioned there explicitly, but it's understood. It's understood. Walhamdulillah, mashallah, tabarakallah. So that's mantuq ghair sarih, the category of dalalatul iqtida. Now the second category, dalalatul ishara. Dalalatul ishara, jayid. Dalalatul ishara. Dalalatul ishara is dalalatul lafz ala lazim ghair maqsood lil mutakallim. That the speaker was not necessarily speaking about this matter. But we can logically conclude from what was said, we can logically conclude the other mas'ala. Jayid. So he's talking about apples, but we've learned something about bananas via this statement, Jayid. That it has like a direct meaning and it also has an indirect meaning. It has a lazim. It has something like a logical conclusion. Example, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ رَفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ. That the night in Ramadan, it's permissible for you and your wife and you can be intimate the entire night, Jayid. The entire night until the time of Fajr. So if technically sex is allowed all night, then the logical conclusion of this would be that you can start your fast while you are in a state of janabah. If this entire night until Fajr, you are allowed to be intimate with your wife right up to the last moment, it would then logically mean that you have started your fast while you are in a state of janabah and your fast is valid. Walhamdulillah. Jameel, jameel, excellent. Another one. Fas'alu ahla dhikri in kuntum la ta'alamun. Surah An-Nahl, verse number 43. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. Logical conclusion behind this verse would be what? Indirect meaning would be what? That we need to have these people in society, people of knowledge. We need to ensure that we have people of knowledge around. Why? Because if Allah told us that we need to ask them when we don't know, so it means, logically it means what? Logical conclusion? It's incumbent upon us to have people of knowledge around, so that when we don't know, we can ask them. But if they're not around, we will not be able to ask them. And so we need to ensure, the government, etc., needs to ensure that within the society, there's always the group, the people of knowledge, who can be asked, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Another one. وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. That the pregnancy and the breastfeeding, this lasts for 30 months. Maximum there, 30 months. And then another verse Allah mentions, وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْن. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْن. And the weaning off process, etc., the breastfeeding period, this is 2 years. This is 2 years. So if we have the 30 months, which includes the pregnancy, and then we have the breastfeeding period, and this is 2 years, so we can conclude from this that the minimum pregnancy is 6 months. Because we have 24 months, the 2 years, and then we have 30 months. The difference between them is 6 months. And so that's the period of the, that's the period of the pregnancy. The pregnancy, because the first verse said what? Pregnancy and the breastfeeding is 30 months. So if we exclude the 2 years of the breastfeeding, then we are left with the 6 months of the pregnancy. And so the minimum pregnancy is 6 months. So this is the logical conclusion. This is the lazim of this text. Walhamdulillah. And the third type of the mantuq, which is غير صريح, which is not explicit. This is dalalatul ima. Dalalatul ima. This is an indicator. Like in the sentence, there's two parts. And one of the parts indicates the illah. It indicates the reason, Jayid. Example, that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said with regards to cats, إِنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ بِنَجِسْ. That the cat, it is not najis. It's not najis. إِنَّهَا مِنَ الطَّوَافِينَ عَلَيْكُمْ. That the cat is something that always is moving around you. It makes tawaf around you, etc. And because of that reason, it is not najis. So the illa, the reason was given there in that sentence. Walhamdulillah. As-sariqu was-sariqatu faqata'u aydiyahuma. The male and the female thieves cut off their hands. So the verse indicates within itself that the reason for cutting is why? Because they had stolen. Because they are thieves. Excellent. So ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. We've covered the mantuq. We have the mantuq which is explicit, sarih. And we have the mantuq which is not explicit. The not explicit, we covered three subcategories. Dalalatul iqtida, where something is mahdhuf, it's missing, and we need to estimate it. And then we covered ishara. Ishara, where this is the logical conclusion. And the third one, the ima. Walhamdulillah. We now move on, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, to the matters of mafhum, insha'Allah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we now move on to the matters pertaining to the mafhum, insha'Allah, Jayid. So the mafhum, this is what is understood. This is when we read between the lines. The mafhum, it is weaker than the mantuq, which we've already spoken about. We gave examples of the mafhum. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't say uff to your parents. So, means you can't hit them, you can't swear them, you can't kill them. Allahu musta'an, Jayid. We've understood this. And also, min fatayatikumul mu'minat, that you can marry those slave women who are believers, which means you can't marry non-Muslim slaves. Excellent. Now, this mafhum is now subdivided into mafhum muwafaqa and mafhum mukhalafa. Mafhum muwafaqa, that which it is in agreement with. So the understood is in agreement with what is mentioned. What is understood is also in agreement with whatever might have been mentioned. When we say فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ, when Allah states in the Noble Quran, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ, don't say أُفْ to them. Now, we've understood from this that hitting them, swearing them, etc., this, what we've understood, it is in agreement with what was mentioned explicitly. Don't say uff, so don't hit them, don't swear them, don't beat them, don't kill them. Jayid. So this is what we call the mafhum muwafaqa, that what was understood is in agreement with what was mentioned. Excellent. And this is what we call mafhum muwafaqa, in agreement, the understood which is in agreement. It's also called fahwa al-khitab, it's called lahan al-khitab, it's called qiyas jali, dalalatul dalala, dalalatul awla. Different usuli scholars might have termed it different matters. Now this mafhum muwafaqa, mashallah, is then further subdivided, subhanallah, into mafhum muwafaqa al-awlawi, awlawi, that it's also called qiyas awla, that if Allah told us in the Noble Quran, don't say uff to your parent, so coming along and killing your father, is this equal or this is worse than what was mentioned? It's worse than what was mentioned. And that means it has more right to be prohibited than even saying uff. Alhamdulillah. If you've understood that, you've understood mafhum muwafaqa or mafhum awla. Excellent, mashallah. Or qiyas jali, qiyas awla. Jameel. Another example, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam states that we should not urinate in standing water. We shouldn't urinate in standing water. You come to this oasis or you come to this pond. Don't urinate into the standing water. So for someone to come along and maybe defecate in that water, this would be worse, subhanallah. And so the ruling of what was understood and the ruling of what was stated, both of them are in agreement. In fact, here, when you defecate in that standing water, it's even worse. It's like you killing your parent. It's like you swearing your parent based upon that other verse. Allahumma musta'an. Another example, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam states that four types of animals, etc., they would not be valid when it comes to the matter of udhiya. And from amongst them, he mentions that the awra is the one which is cockeyed. It can only see via one eye. So if that's the case, if this animal would not be valid, it has this defect, then the one which is completely blind has more right to not be allowed than even the one which is cockeyed. In English, we term this a fortiori. A fortiori, that mimbab awla, it has more right to follow that ruling than what was clearly mentioned. Allah said, don't say uff to your parents, and so swearing them has more right to be prohibited than even the matter of uff. Walhamdulillah. So we've covered now mafhum, and then the mafhum can be subdivided into mafhum muwafaqa, that which the understood is in agreement to what was mentioned, and we gave three examples of that. The example of defecating in the water, the example of swearing or killing your parents, and the example of the blind animal not being valid when it comes to the matter of udhiya, slaughter. Walhamdulillah, jameel. So that's mafhum muwafaqa or qiyas awla, jameel. Now there's one other category, and this is what we call muwafaqa, which is musawin. It is equal to what was mentioned. Example, so somebody comes along and he doesn't say uff to his parents, but he uses another three-letter word. So uff, alif, fa, and the fa has a shadda, so it's three letters. So he uses another word, boom, or he says ul, or whatever else, jayid. So he doesn't say uff, but he says another three-letter word. So this is equal to what was mentioned in the Noble Quran. So this is musawin, jayid. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا, that the ones who eat up the wealth of the orphan in oppression without any haq, etc., they are verily filling their bellies with fire. So it's haram, not allowed for you to usurp the wealth of the orphan. So somebody comes along and he says, well, I'm not eating the wealth of the orphan. I'm not taking it and buying a house and buying food and these type of things. Rather, I've taken the wealth of the orphan and I gave it in charity. I gave it in charity as sadaqah, etc. Or he took it and he burnt it. Or he buried it, etc., etc. He got rid of it via another means. So we say that this is also a type of prohibition. And this forms under our discussion here that this is mafhum muwafaqa, which is musawin, which is equal to what was mentioned. Equal to what was mentioned. Whereas defecating in the water, this was awla. This was a fortiori. It has more right to be prohibited than that which was mentioned. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, say Alhamdulillah. Say Alhamdulillah. Say Alhamdulillah, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. We've covered mafhum, muwafaqa, and the two subcategories of it, qiyas awla and qiyas musawin, MashaAllah. And with regards to this type of understanding, this mafhum, muwafaqa, and especially the qiyas awla, this is a hujjah. This is a hujjah. The scholars are in agreement that this is a hujjah. It's only the zahiri scholars, the literalist scholars, that they differed. And because they deferred here, we found that some ulama, in fact many ulama, said that, well, because of this, whenever the Zahiri scholars differ with us, we will completely ignore it. We will not count the Zahiri scholars when we are counting the scholars of Islam and when we are counting the Mujtahideen. We won't count them. If they differ, we will still have an ijma' because we won't regard them as Mujtahid scholars. He said, why? How come? He said, because these people are denying qiyas awla. Generally, the Zahiri scholars, they have an issue with qiyas. But now, this qiyas awla, this is something that they shouldn't deny. They shouldn't deny, Jayid. So, somebody comes along and he swears his parents. We say, well, the Quran didn't say you're not allowed to do this. Subhanallah. If the Quran said you can't say oof, then obviously swearing and beating and all of these type of behavior, this is even worse. So bear in mind that matter there, that many of the ulama, Imam al-Nawawi and others, they said the Zahiri scholars, we will not regard their differing with us when it comes to the matter of ijma. We will still count a valid ijma, even though they haven't agreed. Why? Because if they deny qiyas awla, if they deny this mafhum muwafaqa, qiyas awla, that it is a hujjah, then they are not fit to be scholars. There's an issue. They have an issue in their aql. They're not fit to be scholars. And so we will discount them. We will not count them when it comes to the matter of ijma'. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. Now we move on to the mafhum mukhalafa. Mafhum mukhalafa. Where the understood meaning is opposite to what was mentioned. The understood meaning is opposite to what was mentioned. So for example, I said to you, sit down. The understood meaning is don't stand. Opposite. The understood is don't stand. Excellent. Let's see some examples. So we have mafhum mukhalafa. We have the first category here, al-hasr. Innamal a'malu binniyat is an example. Verily, indeed, actions are considered by the intentions. So the mafhum mukhalafa, the opposite meaning would be that no intention, then there will not be any consideration of the action. Actions are judged by the intention. Understood meaning now would be that if there's no intention, then the action will not be considered. Excellent. Mafhum shart. And this mafhum mukhalafa here, etc., we found that the Hanafi scholars, they disregarded it. They said, most Hanafi scholars said it's not a hujjah. Whereas majority of the ulama regard all of this mafhum mukhalafa to be a hujjah. As for mafhum muwafaqa, the previous one, everyone agreed on that one except the Zahiri scholars. Mafhum shart. وَآتُوا النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَةً فَإِنْ طِبْنَ لَكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ نَفْسًا فَكُلُوهُ هَنِيئًا مَّرِيئًا. That this mahar that you've given to your wife, if she gives it back to you as sadaqa, then you can eat from it and all is well. Understood would be, if she doesn't give it to you, and she doesn't give it to you with a good heart, etc., she doesn't want to give it to you, and you take it from her, then that would be haram. If she gives it to you with a good heart and she says, my husband, whatever mahar you gave to me, I'm giving it back to you, use it in your business, you can take it, no problem. But if she doesn't do that, you can't take it. You can't take it. Excellent. Then mafhum sifa. في سائمة الغنم إذا كانت أربعين فيها شاء. These are examples. That the سائمة of the ibl, that camels that you have that are free grazing out there in the land of Allah, that Allah sends down the rain and the grass and all of this here, and they are eating from that. And so majority of the year they are being they are grazing outside there in the open grounds majority of the year. Then there is zakah due upon those type of animals. So that's what he's mentioned. opposite would be that if you have the animals within the pen and you are feeding the animals, you are providing them feed and hay and all of this every day, and grass and feed, etc., grain, then there's no zakat due upon them. There's no zakat due upon them. So the hadith again, في سائمة الغنم إذا كانت أربعين فيها شاء. So the word سائمة, سائمة. Whether we implementing what is built upon that word سائمة. That if it is سائمة, سائمة means free grazing most of the year. So not free grazing most of the year, no zakah upon it, because you are spending money and you are feeding it, etc., etc. Jayid, excellent, mashallah. Another example of the mafhum mukhalafa sifa, that fatahriru raqabatin mu'mina, that you set free a believing slave. Believing slave. So if you went to the marketplace and you purchased a Christian slave and you set free this Christian slave, it wouldn't count as your kafara. You need to set free a believing slave, according to majority of the ulama, because they implemented, Allah said believing slave, which means non-believing slave would not be valid. The Hanafis disagreed. The Hanafis disagreed with regards to this whole matter of mafhum mukhalafa. So the Hanafis would state, you can set free a disbelieving slave. Jameel. Mafhum mukhalafa al-adad. Fajliduhum 80 jalda. And that lash them 80 times. Surah An-Nur, verse number 4. Which indicates then the understood mukhalafa opposite would be less than 80, more than 80, not allowed, not allowed. Jayid. Mafhum at-taqseem, at-taqseem. The hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where we have like two categories. At-thayyib ahaqqu bi nafsiha wal-bikr tusta'dhan. That the woman who was previously married, she's got more right to herself. As for the virgin, then her permission must be sought. So we understand from this here that this indicates like two categories, Jayid, and that each category has its own ruling. And so the Thayyib, the one who was previously married, etc., husband died or she was divorced, she's got more right with regards to herself and she cannot be forced. She cannot be forced. As for the virgin, then her permission must be sought. Whereas the one who was previously married, not just permission and her being quiet, but she must be explicit with regards to this matter. That they are two different categories. Excellent. Mafhum al-ghaya. Thumma atimu siyama ila layl. And then complete your fast until the night. Complete your fast until the night. Up to that ghaya, up to that point. Complete your fast up to the night. Which indicates, the mantuk means, that which was mentioned, that we fast from Fajr until the evening. But the mafhum, the understood would be, that the night is not a time for fasting. Allah mentions that you complete your fast until the night, until sunset. You complete your fast until sunset. That's what's mentioned. The mafhum opposite, the mafhum mukhalafa would be that the night is not for fasting, and fasting at night would not be valid, would not be allowed. Excellent. Jayid. And the last one, which most of the ulama state is not a hujjah, it's not a proof, that which is called mafhum laqab. Mafhum laqab. Jayid. It's the weakest of all of these types of mafhum. It's not a hujjah according to majority of the scholars. Like for example, Muhammad Rasulullah. Muhammad is the Rasul of Allah. So anyone besides Muhammad is not the Rasul of Allah. As you can see that this one here doesn't stand the test of time. This mafhum laqab is not a hujjah and not a proof according to majority of the scholars. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, walhamdulillah, you've now understood the matters of the mantuq, that which is mentioned explicitly, that which is stated, and the mafhum, that which is understood. And then we subdivided the mantuq into sarih and ghair sarih. We subdivided the mafhum into muwa and mukhalafa, walhamdulillah, jameel. Now, we know that, as was mentioned, the Hanafi scholars, they said that this mafhum, mukhalafa, we don't accept it as a proof. Majority of the ulama said, no, it is a proof, it is a hujjah. But they put certain conditions. They put laid down certain conditions. What are these conditions? Let us look at five of them. And some ulama listed a sixth one, which is that there must not be any other external evidence to prove otherwise. That's quite understandable. There must not be any other external evidence to prove otherwise. If there is, then we will not apply that opposite meaning. We will not apply قاعدة مفهوم مخالفة. جيد. شروط العمل بمفهوم المخالفة. The conditions for applying the مفهوم مخالفة. As for مفهوم موافقة, that which is in agreement, they've all agreed that it is a حجة, except the literalist ظاهري scholars. Now مفهوم مخالفة, the opposite meaning, whether it is a proof or not, there are conditions. Number one, the author states, أَلَّا يَكُونَ الْمَسْكُوتْ عَنْهُ, that it must not be a case where that which we are silent about, أَوْلَى بِالْحُكُمْ أَوْ مُسَاوِيًا لَهُ, that it has more right to the ruling than what is mentioned. جيد. Because then it would become what? It would become the مفهوم موافقة. مفهوم موافقة. جيد. The matter of, for example, that don't say oof to your parents and then you come along and you want to beat them and hit them, etc. So that which is silent, it has more right to be implemented. It has more right to being prohibited, etc. It has more right to the حكم. It's من باب أولى. جيد. Because then it would not fall within the category of the مفهوم مخالفة, but rather within the category of the مفهوم موافقة. Say Alhamdulillah. Say Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. Tabarakallah. Jameel. The next one. Allah yakun kharaja makhraj al-ghalib. It must not like this mention of this matter in the text. It must not like have been mentioned based upon the norms. Based upon like the norms. Jayid. Because if it is, then it doesn't have the opposite type of understood meaning. Let's see. The verse of the Noble Quran, وَرَبَائِبُكُمُ اللَّاتِي فِي حُجُورِكُم مِّن نِسَائِكُمْ, that when Allah mentions those women that you are allowed to get married and those you are not allowed to get married, etc. وَرَبَائِبُكُمُ اللَّاتِي فِي حُجُورِكُمْ, that the Rabiba is your wife's daughter from another marriage. So this woman, you got married to her, she has a daughter from another marriage. So you got married to the mother. Now the daughter, she's haram upon you. But Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَرَبَائِبُكُمُ اللَّاتِي فِي حُجُورِكُمْ, that this stepdaughter who is living with you. So the question is, so if she's not living with you, can you marry her? If she's not living with you, can you marry her? That's the مفهوم مخالفة. That's the opposite meaning. Jayid, we say we don't implement the opposite meaning here. Why? Because kharaja makhraj al-ghalib. Because this was mentioned, because that's the norm. It was just mentioned as the norm. It was not mentioned to state some sort of ruling based upon the opposite. No, it was just the norm that you got married to this woman, she's got a daughter, the daughter is living with you until she gets married, etc. That's the norm. So, with regards to this verse, وَرَبَائِبُكُمُ اللَّاتِي فِي حُجُورِكُمْ, Surah An-Nisa, verse number 23, here we will not implement the مفهوم مخالفة. We will not implement the understood opposite meaning. جيد. Excellent. Number 3, أَلَّا يَكُون خَرَجَ مَخْرَجَ التَّفْخِيمِ, that it was not mentioned, it must not have been mentioned to give like a sort of emphasis. وَلِلْمُطَلَّقَاتِ مَتَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ, Surah Baqarah, verse number 241. وَلِلْمُطَلَّقَاتِ مَتَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that the one you've divorced, then you must give her some sort of gift. حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُتَّقِينَ, this is the right upon the people of taqwa. So somebody comes along and he says, well, I am not a person of taqwa, and so I will not give my ex-wife who has been divorced according to this verse and that situation, I'm not going to give her anything. Right? We say, no, it doesn't mean that if you don't have taqwa, then you don't need to give her this gift or anything of the sort. No, not at all. So here, the mafhum mukhalafa, the understood opposite meaning, will not be implemented. The next one, أَلَّا يَكُونَ خَرَجَ جَوَابًا لِسُؤَالٍ أَوْ حَادِثَةٍ مُعَيَّنَةٍ, that it must not have been the answer to a question, a certain scenario, situation, etc. Example in the Quran, لَا تَأْكُلُ الرِّبَا أَضْعَافًا مُضَاعَفًا, do not eat up riba like mountains and mountains, so much and so much and so much. Somebody comes along and he says, well, I will take a little bit of riba. Because the verse is saying, don't eat up so much of riba. So I will just eat a little bit of riba. We say, no, here the mafhum mukhalafa will not be implemented. Jade, why? Because this is dealing with the answer to a question or a specific scenario situation. Another one, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by somebody about the night prayer, and he said, salatul layli mathna mathna, the night prayer is in twos and in twos. So we don't implement the opposite understood meaning and say, well, the day prayer is not in twos. The day prayer must be in like threes or in fours, etc., etc., but not in twos. You can't pray a day prayer in two rak'ahs. We don't do that, Jaid. We don't do that. Why? Because this was the answer to a specific matter. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not thinking about the mafhum in this matter here, Jaid. The next condition, أَلَّا يَكُونْ زِيَادَةِ الْإِمْتِنَانِ. That, like the example, لِتَأْكُلُوا مِنْهُ لَحْمًا طَرِيًّا. Allah mentions with regards to the fish of the ocean, لِتَأْكُلُوا مِنْهُ, you can eat from it, لَحْمًا طَرِيًّا, fresh fish. Doesn't mean, well, the stale fish is not allowed. Doesn't mean that the stale fish is not allowed. Jade, here we will not implement the mafhum mukhalafa, the understood opposite. We will not. We will not. Jade, excellent. Why? Because this example here, Allah is like indicating to us His favor upon us, that you eat, mashallah, nice, fresh fish. Doesn't mean that the stale fish is not allowed. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, before we end off this majlis, I will ask mas'ala, and that is this matter of mafhum mukhalafa. Is it a proof? Is it a hujjah? Or is it not a hujjah? We covered mafhum muwafaqa. It was a hujjah. Walhamdulillah. Don't say uff, so you can't swear, you can't hit, etc. We've covered that. Now this mafhum mukhalafa, is it a hujjah or not? Majority of the ulama state, it is a proof, it is an evidence, it is a hujjah. The Hanafi scholars, most Hanafi scholars say, no, it's not a proof, it's not a hujjah. Why do majority of the ulama state it is a proof and a hujjah? What are the evidences for this? They state, well, this is part and parcel of the norms of the Arabic language. Like example, the hadith, matlul ghaniyi zulm, that rich person who is beating around the bush and not paying up his debts, then this is oppression. Means that the poor person who is not paying his debts, it is not oppression. It's clear cut. Everyone understands this. Somebody says, for example, that I will gift my son a book or a watch if he passes. Well, if he doesn't pass, then he will not get the book or he will not get the watch. Everyone understands this, mashallah, Jayid. We also find the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam implementing something like this, that لَأَزِيدَنَّ عَلَى سَبْعِينَ. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the verse came down, that إِن تَسْتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ أَوْ لَا تَسْتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ إِن تَسْتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً فَلَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ. That with regards to the munafiqeen, that whether you seek forgiveness for them or you don't seek forgiveness for them, even if you sought forgiveness for them 70 times, we will not forgive them. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that لَأَزِيدَنَّ عَلَىٰ سَبْعِينَ, I will go more than 70. Allah said, even if you make istighfar for the munafiqeen 70 times, it will not be accepted. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, subhanallah, looking for a way. And so he says, well, maybe I'll make istighfar for them. I will seek forgiveness for them more than 70 times. And so if I do it more than 70 times, maybe then Allah will forgive them. Because Allah said 70, we will not accept. Maybe more than 70, maybe Allah will accept, right? We know later on Allah sent down the revelation that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not stand over their grave or pray over them, etc., etc., right? But at this point here, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was implementing the mafhum mukhalafa. The mafhum mukhalafa. That Allah said 70, so if I do 71, maybe Allah will forgive, Jayid. So that's another proof. And a third one, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked that the person who is in the state of ihram, what are they allowed to wear? What are they allowed to wear? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did he answer? He said that they are not allowed to wear 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're not allowed to wear 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which indicates, which shows the mafhum mukhalafa would be that everything besides what was mentioned here, it would be allowed. It would be allowed. Alhamdulillah. And the Hanafi scholars, they said, no, we don't accept this matter of the mafhum mukhalafa as a proof. And some of the fruits of this difference of opinion would be that in the verse of the Noble Quran, min fatayatikum wal mu'minat, Surah Nisa, verse 25, that if you can't get married, you can't afford the mahar, etc., etc., it's too much, then you can get married to a believing slave. A believing slave. So most ulama said you can marry a Muslim slave because it's cheaper. Get married to a Muslim slave. Jayid. But the Hanafi scholar said, well, it doesn't have to be a Muslim slave. The word mu'minat, the Hanafi scholars, they didn't implement that mafhum mukhalafa with regards to it. Whereas majority said, well, Allah said believing slave, which means the opposite, non-believing slave will not be acceptable. Jayyid. Another example of the fruit of this difference of opinion would be the famous hadith, إِنَّمَا الرِّبَاءُ فِي النَّسِيئَةِ, that indeed, verily, riba, it is in nasi'a. It is in nasi'a. Nasi'a is the delay type of riba. So here, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he implemented the mafhum mukhalafa. Whereas majority of the scholars and majority of the sahaba, they didn't. In this example, they didn't. Why? Because of external evidences. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he didn't look at that. He just looked at this hadith which stated that indeed, surely riba, it is in nasi'a. So Abdullah ibn Abbas's opinion was that then riba fadl is allowed. Riba fadl is allowed. I lend you $20 and you pay me back $500. This here would be allowed. The only type of riba which is not allowed is the delay riba nasi'a type of riba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Obviously here, majority of the sahaba are in the correct and majority of the ulama went with that opinion based upon other external evidences. And they didn't implement the mafhum mukhalafa in this example of this riba matter. Alhamdulillah. So Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, now that we've covered these matters, the matters of dalala or some aspects related to dalala from the text Ta'heel al-Fiqhi, let us see what Imam al-Juwayni, Imam al-Haramain al-Juwayni states in his al-Waraqat. And so he does cover this matter of mujmal and mubayyan. Mujmal meaning that which is ambiguous, mubayyan that which is the clarification, he states. Ambiguity or mujmal is that which is in need of clarification. We require clarification. Example, al-qur, al-qur. This could mean purification, or it can also mean menses. We require external evidences. We require some bayan. We require something which is mubayyan, some clarification. Then he states, clarification, al-bayan, is taking something from the realm of ambiguity into the realm of being evident. The unequivocal, an-nas, nas, this is a nas in the mas'ala, not open to any other interpretation, only one meaning. The unequivocal nas is that which cannot be interpreted except as having one single meaning, or whose interpretation is just as it was revealed. The Arabic technical term nas is derived from minassatul urus, which means, which is the platform that the bride sits on, and so she stands out from the crowd, walhamdulillah. Then he states, evident or zahir and interpreted. Evident al-zahir is that which can be interpreted in two ways or more ways, where one interpretation is more preponderant than the other. Simple, we've discussed. Then he states, al-zahir, evident, is interpreted if there is evidence. Jayid. It is called evident through evidence. Zahir bid-dalil. So sometimes it might not be zahir by itself, but because of external evidences, it has now become the zahir, walhamdulillah. And unfortunately, it seems that Imam al-Juwayni does not cover in detail the matters of the mafhum and the mantuq, and the mantuq which is sarih and ghair sarih, and the matters of mafhum muwafaqa, mafhum mukhalafa, etc. in his al-waraqat, as it states al-waraqat, a few pages related to usul al-fiqh, walhamdulillah. And with that, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we come to the end of this majlis, subhanallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us khair and barakah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make these lessons a proof for us and not a proof against us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us an increase in beneficial knowledge and keep us away from knowledge which does not benefit. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, until we meet again, barakallahu fikum. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.